Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Won't let that money define me. Let my struggles refine me. Know my angels behind me. Young rich man, a snake's trying to find me. So I don't get high.
Daily races going nowhere, going nowhere.
Yeah.
Bitch, corner body.
About a week ago,
Wow! What a way to start a football game.
Utter goosebumps.
Welcome to the Semi Products Podcast. I'm League Commissioner and host of the Semi Products Fantasy Football Podcast, the podcast that revolves around the Semi Products Fantasy Football League. Through 7 weeks, we've learned that you are either above or below 500. Jared won his matchup to break the tie between he and Scott at the top, and while the logjam between 12th and 3rd is just about the same battle. It's the official start to the second half of the season with Week 8, and we kick off the week with Pip. He is the man behind the curtain of McNairbud, slowly working his way from winless, now on a two-game winning streak. We're starting off the pod tonight with an interesting matchup with two teams both on losing streaks between Duncan, that's Marcus in Recreation, and JoJo, Mike Wallace, and Gromit. Duncan lost his second in a row to Andrew, who broke the 100 mark for the second time this season, put up one of the higher scores last week, while Duncan got 33 from Melvin Gordon, but it just wasn't enough from the rest of his team, as was only Marcus and Mike Wallace were the only ones to break 10. Even with the Seahawks playing crappy five-quarter football, they couldn't do much to save Duncan. Last week, JoJo ran into the buzzsaw that is McNairbud. Pip, as you were a part of that matchup, what were your thoughts on Sunday watching your team essentially just run away from Jordan?
Well, first of all, it's good to be back on. Thanks for the intro. That matchup was something that I haven't experienced in a long time. It was great to score that many points, to win by about 50, and to do it against someone like Jordan, or to do it against Jordan, made it just feel so good. Fun fact, it's been 330 days since Jordan last beat me at fantasy football. That was week 12. Of last year's regular season. We played twice in the regular season last year.
Wow.
And we went 1-1 in the regular season. And then, of course, I had that famous victory in the playoffs where I beat Jordan 81-79. And then this week I kill him by 50. So it's good. It was great for me. Obviously, it wasn't great for Jordan. Jordan's been getting very unlucky this year, but for me, I don't really care about Jordan's team getting unlucky. That's just fantasy football, you know.
Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you got that win, and I'm glad Jordan, after saying he's going to go undefeated, is 2-5 and 4 games back of first, tied for 9th. So that's always fun to see when a guy says he's going undefeated and then he does the absolute opposite. Pretty much is great. So for this week, Duncan seems to be riding the Marcus Mariota train into a questionable Thursday night game. That's just because it's Titans and Jags on Thursday night. I'm not really sure about that matchup for him as a quarterback or as a fantasy player. That's shit football to have on a Thursday. He is missing his second highest score from last week, Wallace, on a bye, adding offensive rookie of the year so far, Ezekiel Elliott, to his lineup, while Jordan has to sit Terrence Westworld and is going to have to play Reggie Bush or Wendell Smallwood. Not a lot going on here. What are you reading in the tea leaves, Pip?
I completely agree. This is a very, very interesting matchup between two teams that, they actually are, you know, if you ignore the records, these two teams are very even. Duncan's only scored 20 more points than Jordan this season in total. But obviously, Duncan is 4-3 and Jordan is 2-5. It's the 5th highest scoring team against the 6th highest scoring team, and they're both coming off pretty bad losses to what were last week the two worst teams in the league, me and Andrew. So it's two teams that are heading in the wrong direction. Duncan's lost two in a row. Jordan's lost one in a row, but hasn't been going anywhere forward prior to that. So it's two teams trending in the wrong direction. I'm going to actually start with Jordan's team because I think this needs to be put out there. Jordan, he's 2-5, like I said, as the fifth highest scoring team in the league. The sixth highest scoring team in the league. But he's been very unlucky with his matchups. For example, no one has scored less than 113 against Jordan the entire season, which is pretty impressive because I've been keeping, well, you know this, I've been keeping some stats and numbers about the league. An average score for the season so far is 113. So every week that Jordan has played someone, they've scored above the league average.
Wow.
So he's been getting very unlucky in that regard. He only one week has actually someone scored less than 120 against him, and that's when he played Jared. So he's been getting extra unlucky. He's played me, you, and Tim on our highest scoring weeks. He's played Froning on his second highest scoring week. He's just been really, I mean, he's that team this year that is getting very unlucky with their matchups.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate for Jordan because he does have a decent enough team to where, you know, if we were just went off points, they would be scoring or he would be in the playoffs. He's the sixth highest scoring team. And contrast that with Jared, who's had four teams score less than 90 against him and no more than 117. So, I mean, Jared's in first place. So that just goes to show how much luck is involved in this game. But yeah, this is going to be a very, very close matchup, I think. I think they're two pretty even teams. Jordan's running backs after David Johnson, I was watching that Sunday night game, and David Johnson was amazing. It's how much Arizona tries to get him the ball. I don't know if you watched the tie, but it seemed like every single play, maybe three out of every four plays, they were trying to get the ball to David Johnson in some way, shape, or form, whether it be running, passing, or I guess that's the only way to get the ball to him.
Right,
but,
yeah.
I think David Johnson is by far and away the best running back. He's like 40 points higher than the next player. So David Johnson's going to have to carry Jordan this week, I think, and he's got a decent matchup against Carolina. What about you? What are you seeing with this one?
I'm looking at Jordan's team. His wide receivers make or break this matchup. It's the second time in 3 weeks that the Chargers and Broncos play. On Thursday Night Football, Thomas only had 4 points on like five receptions, 30 yards, because he had a fumble. Marvin Jones is playing a tough Houston defense. Dez Bryant is coming back from 4 weeks gone because of injury. And then Will Fuller has all of a sudden just become forgotten because Arsweiler is just a 6'6" pile of shit. So there's basically, if you know, Demaryius Thomas is like a 1A, 1B in Denver. Marvin Jones has been the guy, but he's been slowing down since that hot start that he had to start the season. He's only gotten over 10 points twice in the last 3 weeks. So he's slowed down, hasn't scored in, I guess only the 1 week. But, I mean, in the one touchdown they got against Los Angeles, 2 receptions, 10 yards, and a touchdown. That's not that great. He hasn't gotten more than 5 receptions since week 4. So he's really slowing down. His production is going down. Dez Bryant coming off the injury. With the bye week, you'd expect him to be healthy. And then, yeah, Will Fuller has been bad. But they're playing teams that they could potentially go off on. San Diego struggled against the pass last week. Houston could possibly do the thing that they tried to do with Denver last week, which is they're going to shut down Demaryius or Emmanuel Sanders. Now they're going to try and shut down Golden Tate or Marvin Jones. And then Houston just has to pass the ball. There's the potential that these guys could go off, and I think that will be the difference. Looking at Jordy Nelson, Doug Baldwin, and Tyler Boyd, for some reason, Duncan's starting him. I think he is 0% owned. No, sorry, that's someone else. 4.5 5.9% owned. Sorry, he's the number 80 receiver,
and he's trending down. He's lost 4% of ownership.
Right. So if you're looking for a top 80 play, I guess Tyler Boyd is your guy. But Jordy Nelson against Atlanta is a great play. Doug Baldwin against New Orleans is a great play. Not too sure about Tyler Boyd. I don't even know what that's about. Mohamed Sanu is a toss-up because as the year has gone on, Julio is getting more and more targets and receptions. Hardy for the Falcons. I don't know his first name. Some Falcons fan I am. Jeez, Rick, get your shit together.
Yeah, right.
He's getting more targets. They're going to Levine Toilolo, who figured out, I've got hands. That's right. I think Jordan's got the wide receiver potential to have a big day, especially looking at really Jordy Nelson is a guy who could have the biggest day out of the Duncan's three receivers, just because the Packers are just going to throw the ball the whole game because they still don't have a running back. So looking at that, if Jordan gets even two really good performances out of his four guys, I think he can pull out a win of this one.
Yeah, I think that's interesting points you make there. I happen to think that Duncan is in a better position to win this week. Although I would say I like Jordan's players better, I just have a gut feeling that Duncan is going to pull this off and beat Jordan. I mean, he's starting Marcus, which I like. I think Jacksonville, you think Jacksonville might have a bad defense, but they have a pretty decent one. The Jags have done very well the last couple weeks against Oakland and Chicago, limiting quarterback play, and they also did well against Baltimore earlier in the year. Only really Rivers and Rodgers have gone off against them, so it's going to be interesting to see how Marcus does in that, especially on a Thursday night. Defenses, there we go, have less time to prepare. So I think that is a good thing for Duncan. Elliott and Gordon, I don't think Gordon's going to have too much trouble with the Denver defense. How well did he do the other week against them? He got 9.4. We still got 27 carries and 94 yards. So I could see something a little bit similar to that, maybe less carries and a little bit more receptions if they're probably going to be playing from behind in at Mile High. So I think Duncan definitely has the advantage at running back. And I think that's going to be the decider, because I do believe Jordy's going to do well, and I think Baldwin's going to do – or I definitely think Baldwin's going to do well against New Orleans. Boyd, I think if Duncan just made an effort and picked up a receiver off waivers other than Tyler Boyd, I think he'd be – or, I mean, he could put Sanu in his third wide receiver and pick up a running back like Zenner. Although I don't know if Zenner's been picked up. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. I think the Hawks defense won't do very well against New Orleans.
I agree with that also.
And as for Jordan's team, Dez got a tough matchup with Philly. They've done very well on defense against quarterbacks, putting pressure on quarterbacks, forcing them into mistakes. And so I think they might rely on the run a lot more. This is Dallas, might rely on the run a lot more, which helps Duncan even more.
Yeah.
With Elliott. And yeah, that second running back for Jordan is not pretty this week. I think it's going to be close. I don't think the Bills defense is very smart against Brady in New England.
No, I don't agree with that pickup either. Because when I last looked at his lineup, he didn't have a defense, and I was looking at the defenses. I thought there were some better pickups out there. The Bills, who put up -5 against Miami last week, and you're now going against Brady. Like, I get there at home, and it's a division game, but that's not a good pickup for me.
No, I mean, they did well week 4 against New England. They scored 12 points, but I think Garoppolo was still in then, wasn't he? Week 4. So
yeah.
I think, but I don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked at the waiver wire for defenses. I think they're pretty thin right now.
You got the Chiefs, Packers, Giants, Falcons have been okay. Giants defense, I guess, well, they're on a bye, but they put up 20, but that was because the Rams were giving them the ball. Buccaneers did well against the Niners last week, and they get Oakland this week. similar, I guess. Well, it's a step up offensively. I think there are better options out there than going with the Bills against Brady.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And just looking at Duncan's team a little bit more, if I was him, I would move Sanu into his third wide receiver. And even though Howard lost carries to Kadeem Carey last week, and Langford is supposedly practicing again, I would still put Howard in his flex because he has done pretty well. It kind of sucks that they went away from him in the last couple weeks, but I think he would definitely have a better chance of outplaying Tyler Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if I was Duncan, I would do that. And I wrote this down, and I feel like it's important to mention. For Marcus, it's his birthday this weekend, October 30th. And so I think that he's playing on Thursday.
He turns 18, right?
Yeah, he's turning 18.
Nice. Happy birthday, Marcus.
Yeah, he's turning 18. I think he's going to want to have a big birthday celebration in Nashville. Or actually, he might be going back to Oregon for the ASU game. I don't know.
He shouldn't ruin his weekend. That's not what he wants to do.
No. I mean, he shouldn't be depressed. So he should enjoy his weekend. He's going to get the weekend started off with a win and have a really, really good birthday weekend. I think Marcus does really well against Jacksonville, and I think Duncan wins by 6.
Yeah, I'm looking. Quarterbacks are a wash between Marcus and Randy Dalton. Running backs, clear Duncan advantage. Wide receiver, I think quality-wise, it goes to Jordan and kind of boom or bust potential. Slightly more boom for Jordan. Again, if Duncan makes some changes that you brought up, like starting Jordan Howard instead of Tyler Boyd, I think that helps him. I didn't pick a winner, mostly because it was all based on who goes off for Jordan's team, but I think his key is that his receivers have to have big weeks for him to get a win.
Well, let me try and persuade you into a decision here. Marcus Mariota, his hand size is 9 7/8 inches.
Wow.
Does that persuade you either way?
No.
That's a fun fact, by the way.
I am just now informed about Marcus's hand size. That's all.
Well, I think that's an important thing to consider. And also, for those of you looking forward to tomorrow night's game as much as I am, Jags Titans, they really just get me going. The game features two players from St. Louis High in Hawaii, Marcus and Tyson Alualu, who is one of 9 children. So I think that's another interesting thing to look forward to in tomorrow night's game. Shout out Destin and Hawaii. I know he can't listen, or he can listen, but I know he probably doesn't listen. But yeah, big game. I think Duncan gets the win, big win. He goes to 5-3, and Jordan gets unlucky once again. I just don't think his team has enough to win this week. And he loses a close one, around the same average, around 113 points, give or take 5 or 6 for each team. So I think it's going to be a good average scoring game, but Duncan gets the win.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. I don't know. To me, it's just kind of a wash, and it'll come down to, I don't know. Jeez. I mean, the last guy to play is Elliott on Sunday night. So I guess if Duncan is behind, I would feel good about Elliott playing last on Sunday compared to Jordan's got Mason Crosby. So I don't know.
Well, can I?
You're not going to persuade me. Like, it's not happening.
Why does it matter when they play? I've always wondered this.
To me, mentally,
you've talked about it in previous podcasts. I don't know if other people have thought this too, but you said, like, if they're down and they have guys on Monday night, it makes you feel like better about it. I mean, obviously, if you're in the lead, you're wary of losing that lead. But Ezekiel Elliott playing on Sunday night has no bearing on whether he's playing on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday afternoon. I mean,
well, right?
You know, it doesn't make a difference.
No, it's all about, like, honestly, the way I think about it, it's my personal feeling. Like, I knew going into my matchup last week with Tim that I had a guy Sunday night. I had the Cardinals defense, and then I had Emmanuel Sanders on Monday night. So I knew, okay, where should my score be by this time? Like, Tim's got two guys on Thursday night. I didn't start Devontae Adams in time, so I lost that. Like, I have to make up a certain number of points with my full roster, and then when is he going to be finished? Like, how hard do I need to root for the Cardinals to get stops on Sunday night and then for Emmanuel to get the ball on Monday night? Like, where do I want my score to be to feel comfortable about my team winning? Obviously, it doesn't matter what time they play really makes a difference, other than, like, the 6:30 start when you're trying to wake up to figure out if a guy is active or inactive. Like, that's really the only thing. To me, it's just a mental thing. It doesn't actually have any effect on their score.
All right. I was just wondering. I've been wondering that for a while. So that's fine. That's a good answer.
Thank you. I hope I cleared that up for at least one other person. I got the job?
Congratulations. Yeah, you got the job.
Let's go. All right, next up, we're going to go to Luke against Scott. That is Saved by Lev Bell against Full Hauschka. Fun fact for you,
great.
Pip. What?
I said, great. I've been wanting to talk about Luke's team for a while.
Wonderful. I have a fun fact for you, but did you know that Stephen Hauschka's name is spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N, not S-T-E-V-E-N, as it is listed on the Seahawks website, ESPN, CBS, and even ProFootballReference.com? He said that there was a little mix-up in how his name was spelled, and he just hasn't asked anyone to change it.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
Yeah, so he is...
Stephen Goskowski or Stephen Hauschka?
Stephen Hauschka. Stephen Hauschka is S-T-E-P-H-E-N, and everyone spells it S-T-E-V-E-N.
Huh. That is a fun fact.
Yeah, you would think people would fuck up spelling Hauschka, but instead it is his first name.
Wow. I'm genuinely impressed.
Nice.
And intrigued.
All right.
Yeah,
well, that was my only fun fact, but I'm glad it was a good one.
That is a good one.
So let's look. Scott last week, he gave that one game lead. They were tied at the top with Jared. Now up 3 on everyone battling for a top 6 spot. Scott's personal hero, Kenny Britt, came crashing down. Travis Kelce was focused more on his reality show than playing football. And Dookie
Great
Johnson
show.
Put up some Dookie-like numbers. It's not a good show. Please don't watch it. Luke continued his high-scoring ways over Fronik with 15-plus from his quarterback down through wide receiver 2, while stashing Devontae Booker, who now looks like a potential starter for several weeks in Denver, and he ran away with the matchup from the start. Scott is hoping that his ragtag gang of misfits can pull through this week against a powerhouse that's having a bit of a down start to the year. So who do you like having a big week between the two?
Well, I like Luke's team, plain and simple. I have previously gone and said that Jared's team was the best team, but with Jared's injuries and just the way that Jared's team is trending right now and the way that Luke's team is trending way, way up above the rest of the competition, I'm going to have to say that I definitely like Luke's team the best. You just look at his roster. You don't need half a brain to see that Stafford's the third-ranked quarterback. Green and Hilton are second, third ranked receivers. He just traded Emmanuel Sanders, got that from you, who is also top 15. And Vinatieri is doing amazingly. He has 88 points on the season, which is the same amount as Jarvis Landry and more than Todd Gurley.
Jesus.
So I think it's pretty clear that Luke's team is the best team in the league right now. Before we get really into this matchup, I did ask both players for some quotes on this matchup, you know, to see if they were to talk some trash or anything.
Right.
And Luke said, quote, "I want to thank Scott for not accepting my trades involving Allen Robinson, Travis Kelce, T.Y. Hilton, and Jimmy Graham." Obviously, holding on to Hilton and Graham were very important for Luke. And then Scott brought the fire by saying, quote, "I'll try to think of some."
Ah!
And he never got that.
I had to take my headphones off. It's
yeah.
too hot.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it hurt.
Scott, I don't know if Luke's going to be able to bounce back from those fiery words.
Whew.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Feel free, everyone, at this time to take a 5-minute headphone break. Please check if your headphones are okay. If they're not, send the bill to Scott Fitzgerald. Or his mom or dad or his cat. I'm sure they will be likely to pay for new headphones for you.
Yep. Or you can send it to his wife.
Or his wife, yeah.
Yep. All right. Now into this game. Very, very interesting matchup between two rivals from the 1261. I'm finally getting a chance to analyze Luke's team, which I'm looking forward to. I haven't had a chance to do that yet. I just want to get your opinion on that trade that you did with him.
Yeah. So I guess we'll do this now.
Or do you want to talk about that at your matchup? Let's talk about Luke's side of that trade there. So he gets Emmanuel Sanders, which when I did my notes, he wasn't in his lineup, but he is now. He moved him in over Edelman.
Probably a smart move.
Yeah, I think that is a smart move. Emmanuel Sanders has been pretty decent this year. I mean, he's a 15th-ranked receiver. Obviously, he's averaging 12.6 a week. So, and he's projected 12.6. So ESPN really going out on a limb there. I think this definitely helps Luke with his buys coming up for his receivers in Hilton and Green, and helps him with some depth, which, honestly, he did need a little bit. He's obviously getting a boost from C.J. Anderson being out for a while, so now Devontae Booker is going to take the majority of the workload in Denver in the backfield, which is really just a lucky break that Luke needed. Luke is on fire right now. He's scored over 120 5 weeks of the 7 weeks that we've played. He's averaging 129 points a week, which for my meager little team averaging 103 points a week, that is honestly mind-blowing to me. I can't imagine averaging 130 points. I mean, that is just ridiculous. And he finally surpassed Scott for the top spot in highest scoring team. So we've got the two highest scoring teams here. Having said that, Luke is 4-3. He had a bad loss to Andrew earlier in 2 weeks where he lost and scored over 120 points. So he's been unlucky in his losses. And as for Scott, he's lost two in a row. He's starting to come back down to earth. I think where we all expected him to be probably with this lineup.
Yeah, that's about right.
But I'll stop there. I think this one definitely leans Luke's way right off the bat. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think his wide receivers now that he's added Emmanuel, I think is really solid. It was already strong with AJ and TY. Now he gets Emmanuel. That's just really good. James White, I don't think is a good RB2 play, but looking at Luke's team, maybe a switch for Devontae Booker from flex to RB2 opens up something, possibly for Edelman to come back in at flex or keeping White in there. I know he got stung when Luke lost to me and he had like the second highest score of the week because he didn't start James White and he put up 20. So I feel like he still again wants to make up for that by playing White. I just don't like it. I mean, he had zero carries last week. Two catches for a touchdown. That obviously worked out for him. But zero carries as a running back, I don't know. To me, it's not a guy I would like to have on my team, knowing that he's just in there for pass catching, kind of like Gio Bernard.
Yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from. But then again, I mean, he doesn't have just give me a second here to see his full lineup. He doesn't have another option at running back.
Right.
So, I mean, he could put Booker in, I guess, and then leave him as his flex. And then what, you're going to start Williams or Edelman at your flex? I don't know if that's any better. Obviously, James White is a little touchdown dependent, but he's going to get his catches out of the backfield, which, you know, the thing is about Luke's team is that you're expecting big weeks from Green, Hilton, Sanders,
and Graham against New Orleans, and a decent week from Bernard. So you can kind of take a risk with White in the backfield. He might not score 20 points, but he's good to get a decent amount, an average. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he got 7 or 8 points. And that might be all he needs, because Green and Hilton could carry him like they have already. I mean, Green is annoying. I think I owned AJ Green 1 year, and you know, he'll have 1 week where he'll go like he did last week for 8 receptions, 169 yards,
nice,
and a touchdown. And then the week after that, he'll get 3 catches for 26 yards. And that's just product of having the Ginger Stallion. I don't know if anybody calls him that.
We will now.
Randy Dalton as his quarterback. So,
well, the same things happened with Julio. He had the week before he went for 300, he had like 2 catches for 20 yards against the Saints, which was a shocker. Blows off for 300 against the Panthers, and then the next week, again, against a bad defense, he goes for 3 catches for 30 or something like that. Like, it was just like he was so up and down those 2 weeks, and somehow it's averaged out to where he's one of the top receivers in the league. But, yeah, A.J. Green is just like that.
Yeah. I mean, Green and Hilton are number one, number two in fantasy points and real-life receiving yards on the season. And then surprisingly enough, I mean, you look at T.Y. against the Chiefs, you would expect the Chiefs to be a good defense and a really tough matchup for T.Y., but the Chiefs have the 31st ranked defense against receivers. New Orleans, they allowed 54 points to receivers against New Orleans, 52 against Pittsburgh, 33 against Houston of all teams. That's with Brock. I mean, their only really good week was when they played against the Jets and picked off Fitzpatrick so many times. So Green and Hilton, I think, are in position to go off again. I have a fun fact about T.Y. Hilton. Do you know what T.Y. stands for?
Thank you.
Yeah, his name's Thank You Hilton. You're 100% wrong.
That's why he goes by T.Y.
No, that is not. That is his real name is Eugene Marquise Hilton. And you may be sitting there, you and the other
the letters T.Y. aren't even in that name.
Exactly. Very good. There's only one T in his name, and it's in Hilton. There's no Y. He's called T.Y., quote, because my daddy's name is Tyrone. So ever since I was little, everyone just used the first two letters of that. So that's great. He has a cool dad. He has a dad, and his name is Tyrone, so he goes by T.Y. And, yeah, so...
Do you think he's named Eugene Marquise? Is that it?
Eugene Marquise.
Marquise. So do you think he's named Eugene Hilton because he was conceived at the Eugene Hilton?
That's a valid point you might be making.
Thank you.
Maybe he was born in the Eugene Hilton. I don't know.
That's not a safe place to be born. That's not a good place to be born. Back to the matchup.
Back to this game. I'm kind of upset that Luke isn't playing Edelman. Because, I mean, the last time I was on, I kind of just eviscerated Scott for that trade. Edelman for Tate and someone else. I think it was Duke Johnson.
It was the Dukey Johnson.
Yeah. So I kind of like Luke to play Edelman and Edelman just go off for like 30 points. I don't know. That's just me. But Jimmy Graham is in a good position to go off against New Orleans. Anybody who has an Instagram, I definitely recommend Jimmy Graham's Instagram. He's a pilot and he does a lot of like aerobatic stuff. It's pretty cool.
Nerd.
So definitely, yeah. Nerd, give him a follow. So yeah, my hot take on Luke's team is that the Titans D goes for zero against Jacksonville. I think tomorrow is going to be a really high scoring game. I think Jacksonville gets their stuff together and I think they go off against the Titans.
You can say shit. You can say get their shit together.
Maybe I don't want to.
All right.
And, okay, Scott's team. Yeah, so still has Kenny Britt on a bye in his lineup. I would imagine he'll move in Snead against Seattle. Or maybe, I don't know, he's got Snead against Seattle, tough matchup, and he has Benjamin against Denver, probably even tougher matchup. So that's not looking good for Scott right off the bat.
Do you think he's waiting to hear more about Philip Dorsett?
I honestly don't think Scott's checked his lineup, but
that's also a fair point.
I think, I mean, Dorsett's back in practice apparently, but Moncrief is probably going to be playing too. So I wouldn't start Dorsett. If Woods plays, you start Woods because he's the number one receiver in Buffalo right now. I think. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I would think with LeSean McCoy possibly being out, I think that Tyrod Taylor is probably going to be passing the ball a lot more too.
Yep.
I
agree.
Go ahead.
Back to the rest of Scott's team. Allen Robinson might be the biggest disappointment in the league this year. Except for anybody else that I drafted. Allen Robinson has 5 receptions for 58 yards the last 2 weeks. He's a 42nd ranked receiver, and Scott took him 14th overall, I think. I think he took him after I took Dez. But the Jags team, unfortunately, is just a huge mess. Bortles, I don't think they use Bortles correctly. And it's really hurt their play. I mean, Hearns...
They use him as a quarterback, though, right?
They use him as their quarterback, but they use him incorrectly, Rick.
Please explain.
Basically, what I've read from the Jaguars super subreddit was that... Because they were playing the Raiders, so I was kind of looking at... basically, Blake Bortles does really well out of the pocket on the run in like a fast-paced, high-speed offense. But what they do, they like to put him in a huddle under center and keep him in the pocket, and he's just not built that way. They compared it to putting Tom Brady in a read option. I mean, obviously, Bortles isn't Tom Brady, but I think the Jaguars really, they have a lot of talent, but they just don't use it correctly. And I think that's what's hurt Allen Robinson, and in turn, hurting Scott's team and going to hurt Scott's team in the future also. So that's my analysis. I just put on my analysis analyst hat. But DeMarco Murray's been really good. He's been going off, number 2 ranked running back, and I think he is a big week. Hopefully for Scott, Lamar Miller plays. If Lamar Miller doesn't play, he's in deep shit. I think he's already in shit, but he's in deep shit if Lamar Miller doesn't play.
Yeah, because he doesn't. His only backup is TJ Yeldon for running back.
Yeah.
Or I guess he would move Doogie Johnson up there and then have some flex questions. But he already has flex issues because he's starting Kenny Britt on a bye. So he's put in a really bad spot there.
Yeah, I really don't think there's much else to say about this matchup. I think I've kind of gone through it all.
Yeah, we have covered everything. And you've said everything that I was going to say.
We haven't covered everything. Kenny Britt is on bye, which we did mention, but I didn't mention that is not the worst thing in the world because he only has 9-inch hands.
Wow.
And so he won't be losing much there. And a fun fact about Kenny Britt, a couple years ago, after he signed with the Rams, he accidentally posted a sex video on his Instagram. 10-second video. I did watch it. It wasn't great. I don't know if it was him or not. I don't know who the girl was. But, you know, just not great look for Kenny Britt. And so he's really not missing much if he takes Kenny Britt out of his lineup. But Luke wins by about 30, I think. Maybe 130 to 100. I think he just blows him out of the water.
Better or worse than the Draymond dick pic?
Better or worse than the Draymond dick pic? That is a tough choice.
Yeah, I had to put you on the spot here.
It was worse.
Interesting. Okay. Moving on. I've got Luke by, I wrote down six, but now looking over and talking everything out loud, not to mention the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. Also just noticed Scott is not riding the two tight end train. Last week he said he was trying to trade Kelce or Olsen, and he has done neither, and he's not even starting Greg Olsen, which we've completely overlooked. So no two tight end train as of yet for Scott. I wrote down Luke by six. I'm going back on that. I'm going to say Luke by at least 12 in this one. So it's about this time that normally we would end our talk with Pip, and we would, or not end his talk, we would move on to Pip's matchup, and then we would bring in our second guest. This week, Pip is our only guest. So Pip, seeing as we're going into bonus matchups, what matchup would you like to go to next?
Oh boy, let's go to Tim and Brandon.
All right. So we have Tim Demaryius Targaryen against Silence of the Michael Sam. That is Tim against Brandon is our next matchup. Brandon couldn't be on the pod this week also because he's having what I'm sure is a delicious dinner with his mother. Would have liked to have her on to figure out why his name is misspelled if she knows that she misspelled her son's name. So that is a big loss this week. We really could have used that information. Speaking of losses, Tim and Brandon both lost last week. Tim lost to me. He got a lot of yards from Jaquizz Rodgers. A big night, as I expected, from Aaron Rodgers, but it was still not enough. Brandon got zero from Jamal Charles, one from Martellus Bennett, who finally is looking like a bad start, like I thought he would about 5 weeks later. He also left 25 on his bench from LeGarrette Blount so he could have the Charles Ware double team run offense in Kansas City. This week, Brandon is hurting as he's going to Ryan Fitzpatrick to start at QB since non-elite Joe Flacco is on a bye. Lego Boo Boo gets a flex start and no Coleman. And, oh boy, look at that wide receiver three. Adam Thielen is in there. Tim is topping that, going with a questionable LaShawn McCoy and 2 weeks missed Theo Chronicles of Riddick and the damned Quincy Enema, bringing Scott's favorite Brandon LaFell after some big bench. Damn it.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
I almost made it through if you just put the phone down. Tim is also bringing in Scott's favorite child, Brandon LaFell, after some big points on Tim's bench, which is a better play than Chris Hogan, the second best Hogan in the league behind Kevin. I'm not too excited about either of these teams. This is what I feel like our rosters would really look like if we were in a 14-plus man league or something like that. Of course, both of these teams will probably outscore me when it comes to Sunday. So what are you seeing? What do you like about this matchup?
What do I like about this matchup? I like that Brandon is starting Minnesota Montenko great Adam Thielen at his third wide receiver. And I like that Tim is not giving up yet. I think that Tim's still trying to make an effort, which is good. I like that Tim has put in Moncrief. I think that's going to help him. But overall, this is a ugly matchup on paper. But like you said, they will probably outscore our teams. We'll start with Tim's team. We'll start with the negatives here. Tim's on a five-game losing streak. He's the second lowest scoring team. He's averaging only 101 points a week. Points per game. And he's dropped below me. I've now outscored. I'm moving up. Whereas Brandon has averaged 111 points a week, which is right around the league average. Like I said, the league average is 113. Him and Austin are right there. So middle of the pack squad for Brandon. So I think this is looking like a pretty standard week for both teams. I don't think either team will go off. I think if anyone's going to go off, it's going to be Brandon's team. But, yeah, let's look at Tim's team. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a good last week, finally, against Chicago. And Atlanta has allowed a lot of points to quarterbacks this year. But they have been improving the last 3 weeks against the three teams that they played, Denver, Seattle, and San Diego. They did a good job against quarterbacks.
limiting to 15, 12, and 13 points. But I think Aaron Rodgers is in for a big week again. Hopefully he throws the ball a lot to Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. I think he'll spread the ball around a lot. So that will be good for Tim. Jaquizz at running back against Oakland. Jaquizz has done very well the last couple weeks. Amazingly, he's 56 carries in 2 weeks and 255 yards, which is really, really impressive.
Yeah, he was killing me on Sunday. Just watching him just rack up the yards, and like every time I would look down at the app to like check the score, he'd added another six or he'd added another 10. I was just like, I was so glad he wasn't getting into the end zone, because if he had, he would have ruined me.
Yeah, and then they pulled him later in the game, so that definitely, I don't remember how many points he won by, but he's been doing well. He averages 6.9 points a week.
Nice.
I think Jaquizz is in position to do well this week, but other than that, looking at Tim's lineup, he took Riddick out of his lineup.
Yeah, I would like to add in that at the time that I wrote my matchup intro, it was Jaquizz and Riddick were the starting running backs with Forsett on the bench, and Brandon LaFell was a wide receiver three, and then Moncrief has also been added in.
Yeah, so he did Riddick not practice? I know he was limited. Tim still hasn't had a chance to play Riddick since I traded him to him, which is a little unfortunate for Tim.
Classic guy you've traded, though.
Yeah, I know. I've traded a lot of guys that get injured. But, I mean, look at that bench. That bench is a lot of talent. Theo Riddick, Antonio Brown, LaShawn McCoy, your guy Trey Sharp.
Yep. Going to be a star.
Yep. I think there's more talent on Tim's bench than there is on in his starting lineup. Alshon Jeffries yet to score a touchdown, and he's got a tough matchup against Minnesota. On Monday night, the Bears play way too many primetime games, just throwing that out there to CBS, NBC, and Fox, and ESPN, whoever's listening. But saying that, Moncrief coming back is a bright spot for Tim, so hopefully that will help him out. He needs to win this week, no matter what. If Tim loses this, he's going to be 2-6 and in deep trouble. He's going to have to win the last five games. Fun fact about Aaron Rodgers. Did you know that he went to Butte Community College for a year?
Yes.
Since nobody recruited him? You did know that?
Yes.
Did you know that his brother won the Bachelorette?
Oh, he did? I knew he was on. I didn't know he won.
Yeah, his brother won the Bachelorette and then got hired by the SEC network.
Ugh.
Just kind of proving that
his brother is Tim Tebow?
What?
His brother is Tim Tebow?
His brother is Tim Tebow, yeah. It just kind of proves that ESPN will hire anybody to spew bullshit analysis out and work as an quote expert.
Haven't hired me yet, so I don't know.
Well, what does that say about you, Rick?
I guess I'm not spewing bullshit, so that's a positive.
Is a positive.
I'll put that on my resume.
Yeah. That's my take on Tim's team. I don't know what you think about Tim's team.
I don't like Tim's team. The only guys that I would be worried about if I were Brandon again would be Aaron Rodgers and Jaquizz Rodgers, the two Rodgers boys that both spell their name wrong. Mostly because they're the only guys that I think are going to have big weeks. Forsett, I think, is still learning the Detroit offense, hasn't been used in probably 3 or 4 weeks. Alshon Jeffery against Minnesota's defense is not going to go well. Moncrief off an injury. Enema is just, he's an enigma. I don't understand it. Barnage has had a really bad season.
Maybe that should be his name. Quincy Enigma.
Maybe.
Or not. Or not. You can go with Enema.
I'm going to stick with Enema because it's closer. Because basically you switch the W into an M and Enunwa. I don't know. It works. Barnage has had a bad season. LaFell is, LaFell. I mean, he's a second option in that passing offense. Has scored in 3 straight weeks, which is surprising. He's got 4 touchdowns in that streak, which is nice. So going up against Washington and London, maybe he can keep that going. Moving to Brandon's team. I don't like that he's sticking with Charles and Ware, kind of the tag team together. He has moved LeGarrette Blount into his flex spot. He doesn't have Odell, this week on a bye, so his receivers take a huge hit, and that's why he's got to start Adam Thielen, which is really a huge stretch. I mean, you talk about... Yeah. What?
Minnesota, Montenko.
That doesn't sound... It doesn't sound like a real place.
That is a real... That's a real place, and he went there, and he's... I'm not going to say anything more about Adam Thielen. That's about enough.
Right. And he's a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver three in our league. Martellus Bennett is now forgotten that Brady and Gronk have their chemistry back, so he's not a good tight end play.
I have to stop you there. I completely disagree with you on that. Week five, when Brady and Gronk were back, I played Brandon, and Martellus Bennett scored 3 touchdowns.
Right. That was the one. That was the first week where I said, this is a bad play for Brandon. He shouldn't start Martellus. And then he did, and I felt like a dumbass. And so,
yes, and so I'm not going to write off Martellus Bennett as a bad tight end right now.
He has 8 points the last 2 weeks. Last week he had 1 reception.
Well, Martellus Bennett is a better start than Jason Witten against Philadelphia.
Jason Witten is going to get targets, though. Like, even if he's going up against a tough defense, he's going to get targets, and that's a higher potential for catches.
I disagree.
I would not go with Bennett, because I don't think he's going to see any of the volume of targets that Witten is getting, and I would go with the guy who's going to get targets over the guy who is essentially a backup. I know you got bit by Bennett the 1 week I said, hey, don't play him, and then that was like the first big thing that I got wrong. But I wouldn't do it again. He's gotten 8 points in 2 weeks. It's not he's had his big week. He's done.
He's gotten 8 points in 2 weeks, and Jason Witten's gotten 12. So I mean, it's not that much of a difference. I know Jason Witten averages 6.9 points a game.
Nice.
But I think it depends how Brandon wants to play. If he wants to go for the boom or bust points, and he'll go with Bennett. If he wants to go for, you know, a solid 5.3 from, you know, Witten, then yeah, go with Witten. But I like the Bennett start. I think looking at the rest of, we'll get off that topic. How about that?
Fine.
You have me fired up, man. Let's look at Brandon's quarterback. He's starting Fitztragic. Brandon has had some real troubles with quarterbacks this year. He's gone Palmer, Flacco, Kaepernick, and now Fitz. Really, really struggling to find a good quarterback to play. But the good thing about Fitzpatrick is that he, fun fact, scored the highest ever score on a Wonderlic test by a quarterback. Did you know that?
That doesn't say too much about what he's done in the NFL. Did you know he went to Harvard?
I did know he went to Harvard. That's probably why he scored so well. He scored a 49 out of 50.
Good room for improvement.
Right. So 50 is the highest score possible. 21 is average intelligence. 14 is equivalent to an unskilled worker. And below 14 is considered a moron. Breeze scored 28 when he did his. Big Ben scored 25. Rivers scored 30. Big Brady. Tom Brady scored 33.
We're going to call Peyton him Manning, that now, too.
Peyton Manning scored 28. And guess how many Eli scored?
29.
He scored 39, which is higher than Aaron Rodgers. So maybe Fitzpatrick or maybe Eli Manning is a little bit smarter than we think. But
not smarter than he looks.
No, he looks. No, he doesn't look smart. Would you like to practice a Wonderlic test question, or should we get back to the matchup?
How many questions do you have?
2.
Let's do 1.
Okay, let's do 1. I'm just trying to keep it interesting because we're talking for a long time here and want people to stay awake and
right.
On their toes. So I'll give you an easy one. All right.
Sure.
A bike travels 5 feet in half a second. How far will it travel in a minute?
That is 600.
Very good, Rick. Very good. You're a bright guy.
I'm a fun guy.
You're a mushroom.
All right, who do you have in this matchup between Brandon and Tim? Let's move on now. We've had our fun.
Yeah, I think that kind of just sums up this matchup.
It's between two mushrooms.
Yeah. Brandon, I think these teams score about their average, honestly. So I think Brandon wins about 112 to 102. I don't think there's really much in this. Not that exciting of a matchup, but I think Brandon gets an important victory and sends Tim on his way down to the cellar arse. So Brandon's my pick.
I'm also going with Brandon. I think both teams score under 100, and it is time for Tim to prepare not to be in last place.
Prepare to be in fast place.
Well,
last place.
Well, yeah, but it's the goal is to not finish 12th, essentially, so you don't have to chip in for the trophy payment or whatever. Have to win your way through the constellation bracket.
True. All right, let's move on to Andrew and Austin.
Right, so Andrew isn't here for this matchup. He is busy working with doctors without medical licenses, so Pip is staying on, as I've mentioned, to get all of his prepaid minutes on his flip phone, as Bob would say. So we have we have Andrew Gurley, you can't be serious, against Bendit like Beckham Jr. Andrew won while also leaving 200-yard star Jay Ajayi on his bench, and luckily he has to stay on his bench because the Dolphins are on a bye this week. The key to Andrew winning seems to be Matt Forte scoring 25 or more. That has happened twice each time Andrew has won. Austin got the upper hand with his team name Beckham playing better than the real Odell Beckham, putting up 111, led by Jeremy Hill, 26, Randall Cobbs, 23, and a big win against Da Bears. So this week, it's a matchup that is really London heavy. Austin has four in the Cincy-Washington game, while Andrew has one. So that game becomes a major player in the outcome of the matchup. Dallas' defense is very good against the run, so Ryan Matthews looks to have a tough game ahead of him. And Andrew is working with Forte, and Crowell is pretty unfortunate for Andrew because he's going to have to pay attention to Jets-Browns on Sunday. You want to know why the ratings are down? Let's not have ship teams play each other like this. So get around that one, NFL. Austin has some
got him.
Got him. Boom. Suck on that, Goodell. Austin has some great wide receiver matchups. I think the Seahawks are exhausted after playing that crap fest of a game against Arizona. Brandon Cook should have a big week, while the Packers are going to have to throw the ball a lot, and Atlanta hasn't been great against the pass. Stephon Diggs has been struggling, but he is back against the Bears. That should fix things around just right. And like you mentioned, I have this in my notes around, please stop having the goddamn Bears play. They're 1-6, and this is their fourth primetime game of the year. I don't think people thought that the Bears were going to be good, but how did we not notice that the Bears would be on primetime like 4 weeks in a row? It's really frustrating. What do we else got here? Andrew really only has Hopkins to look forward to as his wide receiver this week, and even that is upset since Arsweiler has been nothing but crap and is not looking to change. The two tight end train is rolling into town with Delaney. Hey, let's have a big week because Rick said you were being crap. Walker and bench superstar Zach Miller gets his call up to the big leagues. Pip, what else are you seeing in this matchup?
So this is the only matchup I wasn't able to prepare for. So I'm a little shorthanded with my stats and fun facts and numbers, which I'm sure everybody's going to be disappointed about. But I'll start with Austin's team. He's scoring around the league average, 111 points a week. And Andrew is the lowest scoring team in the league. He's averaging only 96 points, which is pretty tough in a half-point PPR league. It's going to be, and I would like to know what Andrew's points left on his bench are this year. I should probably go and add that up.
The past 3 or 4 weeks, it's been absolute. He had a brutal stretch where he left. It was Zach Miller on his bench, and it was Hunter Henry on his bench that were just scoring touchdowns and getting yards like crazy.
Yeah, and he's left Ajayi on his bench.
Jay Ajayi,
scoring 200 yards or running for 200 yards the last 2 weeks. So Ajayi can't do that. He's on a bye. So who's going to go off on Andrew's bench this week? I'm looking at Adam Humphries,
to probably score a touchdown and get 100 yards against Oakland. So maybe you should start him, Andrew. Maybe you shouldn't. Andrew's team, it's real disappointment what's happened with DeAndre Hopkins this year with Arsweiler throwing to him. And like you said, he's been very reliant on Forte doing well. Got a tough matchup with Rivers against Denver. And Floyd is pretty hit or miss at this point. He doesn't have many receptions at all. He's only got 7 the last 2 weeks. So it's not looking great for Andrew, although the two tight ends play is probably the best option. Although, and I wouldn't even start Hunter Henry since he's going against Denver. So it's a tough week looking at Andrew's lineup. And then moving over to Austin's, he's got a solid squad now. I think he's hanging in there. In sixth? Yeah, he's in sixth. So Austin is going to be one of those teams. I can guarantee you right now he's going to finish 7-6 or 6-7. But he's won 2 in a row. He's in sixth place, or tied for third, but with the points score tiebreaker, he's in sixth. And I think he's got a good enough team to make the playoffs. Looking at his team long term, he needs Reed to get back and be healthy. If Reed is not back and healthy, it's going to be that's a lot of points he's missing out on. Corey Coleman's going to come back and hopefully do as well as he was when he was healthy. Duck Martin, kind of iffy to see what's happening with Duck Martin right now. I heard he had a setback in his injury. So if he came back, it would be really positive for Austin. So I think Austin, despite the auto draft and the injuries that he's had to face, he's weathered the storm really well.
Yeah,
and he's in that middle ground. He's going to be one of those teams fighting for the fifth and sixth playoff spots, or going to be seventh and eighth in the league. So I think Austin's in a pretty good spot right now, and I also think he's going to win this week just because he's got a better team. I think that's just what it's going to boil down to. I mean, I think Cobb has kind of found himself now that he's not on my team. Diggs is back, but I'm not the biggest fan of Stephon Diggs. And Cooks has a tough matchup against Seattle, but I don't know. I think this will be a low scoring game. But I like where Austin's team is going. He's not going to win the league, but he's put together a good enough team to make the playoffs, I think. Maybe one or two more moves. But yeah, I think Austin pulls this one out. I think he pulls out.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, I think he wins. I think Austin wins. I think he's just got a better team. Andrew's team's in tough shape.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tighter than it seems, only because Austin has got those four guys in the London game, and London games are weird. They do weird things to players. Especially having a running back, a tight end, another running back, and then even a kicker. It's to me, it's a very weird thing to depend on, knowing that you've got so many guys playing so early, and how are they going to play over there? How do they react to the time change? All that crap. I think
time changes aren't crap, Rick. They're very important.
Time changes aren't real. Like, time is a fake thing. I think Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb have big weeks. I think Seattle's... What?
Nothing. Keep going.
Let's not go back to talking about how time change is real. Let's just move on. It's not real. Let's go on. I think Brandon Cooks has a big week. I think Randall Cobb has a big week because, again, Green Bay is just going to have to throw the ball. Hopefully Chris Thompson does not play too much because that means Matt Jones is healthy for me. But we'll get to that matchup later. And then Andrew's team, I don't know what to make of Matt Forte and Isaiah Crowell. It's really sad that if Andrew's going to have to pay attention to the Cleveland-New York game. DeSean Jackson has been up and down. Michael Floyd has been up and down. And DeAndre Hopkins is just, he's got a bad quarterback throwing him the ball. Like, there's nothing he can really do about that. So I think it's going to be closer, pretty low scoring, really coming down to, at the very end, how much is Stephon Diggs back versus other options in the Minnesota offense, really. Also, Andrew, you got to pick up a defense. So,
yeah, I'll let him know. I'm seeing Andrew this Saturday. We're gonna go out. I think in Thousand Oaks or LA or something for Halloween. So I'll let him know that he needs to pick up a defense if he doesn't listen to the pod prior to that.
Right. Good. So we're both taking Austin then in that one.
I am picking Austin by 13. 109 to, what would that be, 96.
All right. Up next is my matchup, correct?
It's either yours or mine. I don't mind.
All right, we'll go with mine. We'll save yours for last. Up next, we have Nick on Nick action. That is the $6 million McManus against Hokeback Mountain. Vronik ran into the high score of the week, so there wasn't much he could do. Didn't help also that Sterling Shepard has fallen off from his first big weeks of the season, and Cameron Meredith not able to perform as well. Pretty good performances from Crabtree, Freeman, and the Gronk. As for me, I survived against Tim getting his big week from Jaquizz, Antonio Brown, and Quincy Enema, while Julio and newly acquired Latavius Murray and Michael Thomas got me enough for the win. Now I guess is the time to talk about that trade that went down. It was Jonathan Stewart for Emmanuel Sanders and Washington from the Raiders as well, a handcuff to Latavius Murray, DeAndre Washington, there's his name. So I guess, what did you think of that trade, Pip?
Well, I kind of went over that, what we said about Luke with Emmanuel Sanders helping his depth, and with Edelman, third wide receiver, fourth wide receiver, flex option. So I think it's a good trade for him. And for you, I think it's all right. I mean, Washington as a handcuff, yeah, kind of to Latavius Murray, but they're both splitting time already, and you have Jalen Richard also in that running back by committee love triangle. So I don't have that much value for DeAndre Washington. Luke tried to trade him to me and has tried to trade him to me a couple times, but I didn't really want him. But Jay Stu is a good option. He's passed his bye week, so I think that will help you at your weaker running back position.
Yeah,
which you made weak by trading Christine Michael to me.
It really got weak when I traded Terrence West because I had gotten through Eddie Lacy and Christine Michael's bye weeks, and then I traded Terrence West, and then Eddie Lacy decided to get hurt. And then even though I had just traded for James Starks, he got hurt, so I don't even have what's his name? Also to you. Classic.
And then I traded you Matt Jones, and he scored like 0.7 last week.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. It would have been more, but he did have the fumble.
Yeah. He would have had 2.7.
Which is a lot better.
Which is more. So I think it definitely helps your running back. It leaves you a little weak at wide receiver if you have an injury there and when Julio goes on his bye.
Yeah, so looking at that, I had originally Julio and Emmanuel both had byes week 11, and Luke was trying to trade Michael Thomas off me, but that would have left me with only two receivers for that week. And now that I traded away Michael, who'd gone through his bye, and I didn't have, and then Latavius and Matt Jones have their byes, and next week, weeks 9 and 10, I needed a running back that I'd be able to plug in because the waivers are thin, especially since Brandon spent $15 on Alfred Blue, which we didn't talk about, but that's a mistake. That's a lot of money to spend on Alfred Blue. So I needed a running back, and I kind of had some wide receivers to spend. I'm okay with picking up Murray's handcuff. A little upset I gave up on Sanders because he was my fifth-round pick. I've now lost my second, third, and fifth-round picks either to trade or injury. So I'm sticking to form with last season for trading for Jamal Stewart and losing like basically half of my top five picks, more than half, 60%. So it kind of saves me a little bit of trouble with some buys, but yeah, I'm a little thin at receiver. Luckily, other than Julio, he's the only receiver left to go through a bye week, which is nice. I'm just hoping that maybe I can pick up some depth somewhere or some guys on my bench get a little bit healthier. Although now that I'm looking at it, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 running backs on my bench now and Jameis Winston. So that's awesome. So I got a lot of running back. I have no wide receiver depth anymore. So great. Way to go, Rick. Good move there.
You also need a kicker.
Yeah, I am kickerless. When I made that trade, I had to drop somebody, and I figured I would drop my kicker since there's plenty of others on the waiver wire. Also, I thought about dropping Jameis Winston, but I'm not sure if I want to drop him or not in case Cam gets concussed again because he's got a pretty favorable schedule and he's a decent quarterback. This week, again, like I said, kickerless, loaded with injuries. Other than that, I've got a full roster, so I'm 9 out of 10. It's a perfect full roster you want there. I've got my defense going against my running back and quarterback. That always works out well. Julio should have a big week against Green Bay's offense. Maybe the refs will get some PI calls on him. And it looks like I have... what the fuck did I write? Okay, that's what I meant. Like Brandon Cooks, I probably should have used his first name. I would have understood what I'm saying. Like Brandon Cooks, I like Michael Thomas against the Seahawks' tired defense. Also, my defense should struggle as well because they play.
Did you say tired defense?
Yes, I think after playing 5 quarters in a physical 6-6 game, woohoo! I think it's going to have a bit of a carryover to this week.
All right,
that's all. So I also think my defense is going to have some after effects of that playing on the road as well. Team Hokeback looking like he's got some better matchups than the one I'm working with. Also rolling with the 2 tight end train with the Gronk and Zach Rudolph Christmas special. Benjamin and Crabtree should have some big games. Freeman, a true number one with Coleman out. And hopefully the Vikings aren't too reliant on the run game. I'm already not feeling great about this matchup. So what do you have, Pip?
Well, this is a huge matchup. 2-4-3 squads. You're the third highest scoring team, Rick. You're averaging 121 points a game, which is really good.
Thank you.
And then Fronik has been that one team that's been getting lucky. He's 4-3, like I said. But he's the fourth lowest scoring team. He's only averaging 109 points a game. And I think his luck is starting to run out. He's lost the last 2 weeks. You remember when Tim a couple weeks ago said that Fronik's team is starting to come together?
Yes.
Yeah, well, since that point, I'm not sure that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But Fronik's team has not done well since that point. So maybe that was the curse of Thompson on Fronik there, and yeah, it's an interesting matchup, very important matchup for the playoffs, because whoever wins this is has that fifth win, and you probably need 7 wins to make the playoffs. So it's a very important game to win for both of you. Obviously, I think let's start with Michael Thomas. He's done very, very well this year.
Yeah.
Did you draft him or pick him up?
I drafted him.
He was a really good draft pick wherever you drafted him. He's kind of a funny-looking guy, if you look at his picture. And he has 10.5-inch hands. So he's a good player for you, even if he does look a little wacky and wonky.
10th-round pick.
Huh?
Was a 10th-round pick.
He was your 10th round pick.
Yes.
Oh, well, good job. He scored 3 touchdowns the last
4 weeks. He hasn't scored less than 12 and a half. He hasn't scored less than 12 and a half the last 4 weeks. He hasn't scored less than 7.5 overall. So he's been really, really solid for you. Jeremy Maclin, you know, I tried to look up why the Chiefs wear turtlenecks in their pictures, and I thought that would be a really good fun fact, but nobody knows why.
You should send a tweet to UniWatch. I'm sure he would find an answer for you.
I'm sure he would, but Sports Logos did a blog on it, and nobody knows. I think it's just tradition. The Kansas City Chiefs subreddit said it was tradition. I didn't ask him. Somebody else had already asked him. But, yeah, so Maclin looks good in his turtleneck, and I think he has a good matchup against Indianapolis here. I think Thomas is a tough matchup, but he plays – what position – where does he play? I should know this. Does he play the slot for New Orleans?
Yeah.
No, Snead plays a slot.
Well, he's been playing ahead of Snead in the slot.
He's been playing ahead of Snead in the slot. Okay. Don't say that. Say that 10 times fast.
I won't. Fast.
Okay. And then Julio got a good matchup against the Packers. But ultimately, this game comes down to Arizona, for your team, comes down to Arizona against Carolina. I would be scared to death of starting my running back and quarterback against my defense, especially when your quarterback has a receiver on the opposite team. I think that can only help Fronick.
Yeah, not feeling too hot about the Cowboys' defense, though, this week either.
Yeah, no, I get that. Although I think the Cowboys' defense would be a better play against Carson Wentz than against your quarterback. I think you're going to have to make a decision there. I don't think you can stick with three guys or two guys against your team. I think that's too risky. For a game that you have to win, I would change it differently, but I'm 2-5, so don't take my advice. But I think that's very interesting thing to look at. And as for Fronick's team, Blake Bortles, we kind of already talked about how they're using him wrong. But I think he has a good week against Tennessee ahead of him. Devontae, hopefully he plays. Is he going to play? He's questionable.
Freeman?
Yeah.
He should be good to go. I haven't heard anything like he's not playing at all. This is the first time I'm actually hearing of this hip injury is right now, looking at the little tag on his name. I know Coleman is likely out because of his hamstring injury, and they've signed a couple guys from the practice squad onto the roster just for a little bit extra depth. I would assume Freeman will be fine. They probably just sat him as just a little bit of a cautionary thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be important to look at. I think he's – I mean, it seems like he's going to play. It doesn't seem that like a major thing. Michael Crabtree has been amazing for Oakland and been really good for Fronick. Derek Carr on any third, fourth down, or anywhere near the goal line, Derek Carr is just like, every play's a fade, Crabtree, I'm throwing it to you, go up and get it. And he has been huge, helping the Raiders win games and helping Fronick win games. In my notes, I wrote down Anquan Boldin and then just lol. Wow, he's actually done really well. I should probably shouldn't have written that down without looking at the numbers. But he's playing as Houston, and he's the third receiver for the Lions. So I don't know if that's how good of a play that is. I mean, Gronk's going to do well. Rudolph, double tight ends, is bold, but no great options this week for him on the bench.
Choo-choo.
Meredith with Cutler back. Gillisley.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Mike Gillisley.
Yuck. Yeah.
Actually, let's do this. Mike Gillisley from?
Kansas.
Florida, Rick.
Ah, yeah. That was going to be one of my last guesses.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
You start Gillislee if McCoy's out, but I don't know if he's going to be playing McCoy or not. I think that's the best options for Fronik. And then the Jets' defense against Cleveland is positive for him, although Cleveland hasn't been as beneficial for defenses as I think they're made out to be. Only 6 points for Tennessee, only 6 points for Cincinnati, 6 points for Washington, 3 for Miami. So I don't know. I think it's looking better for you than it is for Fronik, but I think that you're taking a big risk with the Cardinals defense in there, and that game is ultimately going to decide it.
Yeah, I was worried about that pretty much since I drafted the Cardinals defense and realized that they played Carolina. This was kind of a little bit of a worry for me in the back of my mind. Now that I've got Jay Stu added, I'm going up against Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know. Like, good defense is a good defense, and like my offensive guys will still get points, but I don't know if that's really like starting or sitting the Cardinals defense. Carolina still has to go up against the Cardinals defense. So
yeah, but you're not losing points for that Cardinals defense. That's my point.
I don't know.
Because if Cam and Stewart have a great week, then you're losing points from the Cardinals, and you're also Fronik is gaining points. I'm not trying to make your decision for you. I should stop talking. But I shouldn't have a say in who's playing or what. So, fun fact about Nick Fronik. Let's change the subject. And then I'll make my pick. Fun fact about Nick Fronik is that he has a girlfriend now.
Oh.
That is my fun fact for Fronik's team. I think that's really fun and really facty. I think the league will like that. And despite that, I'm picking you to win.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you believe in my team. I've picked Hoke back by 9. I just don't like my opponent matchups. I think everything is red with the exception of Latavius against Tampa Bay. Matt Jones might not play, which might affect who I start running back, although probably not. But if I'm up at 6:30, it'll be for the Everton game, not Redskins Bungles. So that brings us to the final matchup of the week. It is Pip's matchup. McNair Bud against Rivers runs through it. Pip against Jared. We talked about your week last week with Jordan to start things off. We're now looking at what Jared did to Scott. Todd Gurley was okay in London, as were the Rams. Looks like they're certainly not going to go 7-9 at best. They'll probably be a lot worse. CJ Anderson with an injury is not going good, as he went from a top 10 back to now timeshare to now backup. And Mike Evans had a monster week, making up for Cooper and Matthews having pretty bad weeks as well. So for this week, who do you like, and do you see yourself getting a third straight win?
First of all, I'm exhausted. I don't know how you do this every week. This is tiring.
Normally switching to the second person kind of is a little bit of a boost, but yeah, this has been a long one for sure.
Yeah, well, it's always long between you and me.
Nice.
All right, so Jared, let's start with Jared's squad. He is in first place. Mad respect to my SoCal BroCal homie. But he is the fourth highest scorer in the league. So he's getting a little bit lucky in that regard. He's only averaging 118 points a week. But he's been very, very consistent. Every week but one, he's scored between 109 and 121. So he's been in that really good, solid range where you're putting yourself in position to win every single week, which is a key to his success. He scored 141, that one outlier. Which I think was week one. Earlier in the week, Jared was a 16-point favorite, which I thought was a little bit stupid. I didn't think that his team's that much better than mine. And looking through the matchup more, I definitely was scared at first, but I'm feeling better about this matchup now. Russell Wilson against New Orleans scares the living shit out of me. Even though he's been injured and hasn't been playing great, that might be something that might be his medicine to make him go off. I mean, Case Keenum and Ryan Tannehill have scored more than Russell Wilson this year.
Yeesh.
He's only scored two more points than Arthweiler. He's only thrown over 300 yards once, but he has only thrown in one interception. So he's been solid as usual, but he just hasn't been really putting up the big numbers. And I don't expect Jared to start Dak Prescott. That's 2015 Belk Bowl MVP Dak Prescott. So that means that this New Orleans Seattle game is really, really important. Obviously, he has Wilson against New Orleans, and I have Breeze and Ingram against Seattle. So that is going to be a really important game to watch. I'm happy I'm meeting Jared when Gurley is on bye. I'm happy that C.J. Anderson got injured. I mean, actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm not happy he got injured. Although,
yeah, don't be a dick.
He's a Bronco, so I'm not exactly upset. But it definitely helps my matchup. But I am worried about Jared's receivers. I think Mike Evans is going to have a good week. I think Cooper will find the end zone, even though Crabtree has been the primary target in the red zone. Matthews, I'm not worried about really at all. Vernon Davis, I think he's done really well, surprisingly, the last couple weeks, but I don't think he keeps it up against Cincinnati. They were lit up by New England a couple weeks ago. So I think that, especially if Jordan Reed's back, Vernon Davis will not have as good as a week as he had in the last couple weeks. But that will take away from my points from Jamison Crowder if Jordan Reed is back. So that might not be the worst thing for Jared. Although he would have to start Eric Ebron, who is questionable and limited practice, so I don't know how much he's going to play. It's going to be close. I think as for my team, first of all, RIP Arian Foster. It's been a really tough year for Miami. Miami sports stars, obviously Jose Fernandez, Chris Bosh, D. Wade, and now Arian Foster, RIP in pieces to all of them.
Yeah, they did all die. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. Phenomenal is not the word I was thinking of. I was going to say sad. But, yeah, that's a shame that he had to retire. I mean, obviously he was a great fantasy back, and he wasn't great for me, but he completely lost his job to Ajayi, so I don't really blame him.
Ajayi?
I'm the third lowest scoring team in the league. I've scored a total 105 points less than Jared, and I am terrified of Breeze against Seattle defense and Ingram against Seattle defense. I'm not expecting more than 30 points combined out of them, so I'm really hoping Christian Michael puts up a lot of points against New Orleans for me. Hearns, Thursday night, I don't like starting guys on Thursday night, but hopefully Hearns comes through against Tennessee. Crowder, he's been probably my best player and my favorite guy that I've traded for this year. He had 7 receptions, 108 yards last week. He had 11.8 the week before, 11 the week before that. He put up 15.8 and 12.9 earlier in the season, so he's been really, really solid. For me, I think he puts up the same thing again, same type of points this week, maybe around 11 or 12 against Cincinnati. Ty Montgomery, he had a huge week last week. His value is going way up now that he's a running back and a receiver. So if anybody wants to trade for him, I am willing to look for offers. And some great stuff about Ty Montgomery that you might want to know if you're trying to trade for him. He has 31-inch arms and 10 1/8 inch hand size. So, I mean, if you guys are looking for that type of numbers,
you know, you're more than welcome to have him. I picked up Jack Doyle and dropped Cameron Brate. So Jack Doyle is the third-ranked tight end this year. Hopefully he does well. I don't really know. And Pitt is on bye, so maybe I can get lucky and get a touchdown at least out of him. I think the Eagles' defense has been phenomenal for me. I mean, they scored 25 last week.
I believe the word you're looking for is sad.
The Eagles' defense?
I don't know. You said phenomenal. When I said phenomenal, it was wrong. And then when you said it, I just thought maybe you meant the other word.
Oh, no. Although, yeah, well, whatever. You threw me off, man. They have three fumbles, recoveries, a touchdown, an interception, and a that touchdown probably was the kick return. But they scored 25 points last week. So I don't know. It's gonna be fun to play Jared. I won't be watching with him, which is gonna be kind of annoying. But I think we're poised for a good matchup. I'm definitely helped by Gurley and C.J. Anderson on bye, though. Those really helped me out.
Yeah, looking at this, Fronik last week was projected to lose every position but the tight end with the Gronk, and he ended up doing just that. This week, your advantages are in running back and flex, and I think your flex being Brandon Marshall is a lot better than Cole Beasley, who I think takes a hit with Dez coming back. Both of your running backs this week, I think, will have pretty solid weeks compared to Frank Gore and Chris Ivory is a long, very hopeful set of running backs there that Jared really just isn't used to having to go to. Especially now that CJ is out, Todd Gurley being on bye is a crazy big boost for you. I think it's in the end, Jared by five. I think his team at wide receiver is too good. The Broncos defense is probably going to get him a good amount of points. And Russell Wilson probably has a big day that offsets anything that Breeze and Ingram do together.
That's a fair point of view. I respect your opinion, but you're wrong.
Okay.
I just have a good feeling about my team this week. I haven't made a trade, so that might be a bad omen for me. I might need to make a little move here to put me over the edge and get the victory. I think changing my name to a shorter team name has definitely made a difference.
For sure.
I think Jared has a below average week. I don't think Beasley and Matthews do well. And I think Crowder and Marshall, I think Marshall definitely against Cleveland, puts up really good numbers. And I think I'm going to pull this one out. I don't think it'll be that high scoring. I think it'll be around 110, 115 points. I'm really optimistic about my team right now. There's still a long way to go, but and it can get better. It can get a lot better. But I think I'm in a good enough position to beat Jared and get a very important victory this week to move me to 3-5.
Yeah, it would certainly be helpful for everybody chasing Jared if he got a loss. I think that's
Everybody is chasing Jared.
That is true. Well, I mean, like the nine of us that are tied for third place or whatever it is.
Yeah. True.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks a lot, Pip, for coming on and double dipping. We will give you an off week for a couple of weeks here from being on the pod. I hope you're not too exhausted, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's good to. I felt like kind of a relief pitcher making a spot start. But it was good. It was good fun. Like, it was pretty tiring. I hope everybody liked it because Rick and I are going to be doing a Facebook Live video for the Thanksgiving week, the day before, so you're going to have to put up with something like this once again. Thanks everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Have a happy Halloween. Have a happy Day of the Dead. And go Ducks. Hope they can get a big win against Arizona State this weekend. Go Raiders, go Warriors, go Gulls, go Chargers,
go Chiefs, go Blazers, go Thunder, go Mariners, go A's, and go Falcons.
That was by far the hardest thing I've had to go through doing this podcast.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to collapse now. I like talking about fantasy football, but Christ, I mean, this is too much talking about fantasy football. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'll talk to you guys around Thanksgiving again. No problem. Don't edit all that out either.
I'm going to cut most of your ums and the blank space out for sure.
Fine.
There's some of it that needs to get trimmed down. I mean, we're working on an hour and a half at this point. We've got to trim it down.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Semi Products Podcast. I hope we've provided you some helpful information regarding your own fantasy matchup. If we haven't, don't worry. Listen to Fantasy Football Today live at 8 a.m. Pacific Time on CBS Sports Radio. That's live right here in Eugene on 95 Through the Scores. The guys on the show will have all the information you'll need to make the best sit-start decisions for your lineup with all of the latest information, except for the game that starts at 6:30 a.m. in London. So you're going to have to be up at 6:30 or 8. But if you're not, don't worry. Tweet them at the handle at CBS Sports Fantasy and use the hashtag FFT. Thanks again for listening. This has been the Semi Products Podcast.